The Two Man Game Podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears! Go Bears!
From 1-7 in the Big Sky Conference, Coach. You guys win 9 out of you go 9-1,
yeah,
essentially.
9-10, yeah.
To end the regular season. And now we've got the standings or the seeding and the bracket and all this stuff. But first things first, you guys go up against Montana. I told you before the show started, I was like, I know you play everybody in your conference twice every year, and then obviously depending, you're gonna play a third, fourth, whatever. Sure. It just seems like you played Montana 4 million times in the last 4 years.
Yeah, well, and like, you know, It's been weird because, and I have to go all the way back, but it feels like we play Montana State always like the first weekend or whatever, like New Year's Eve,
yeah,
give or take. And then we always play Montana like the last game of the year, like, or really, really late. At least it feels that way. So, again, it was like that this year. Like, you know, we played them so early on that you got to go back to the film, but is the film even relevant? Which it was, you know. But, yeah, to play them basically the first game of conference and then the last game – you know, it just a weird thing, but yeah, we do. We play them a lot, and as we finish the game and I didn't know like what all the scenarios were. I knew we could be in a tie for fourth, which is what happened.
Yeah,
I knew that there could be a 3-way tie for first. Like if Portland State lost, them, EWASH, Montana State, they could have shared. Like there could have been a 3-way tie for the championship. So you're trying to go through these tiebreakers. You have no idea. So we finished our game. We saw that Montana State had won. Trying to think here. Then the late games were the EWASH and the Portland State games. So they were still, by the time I got home, they were still, you know, there was 45 seconds left in the EWASH Idaho game, which went down to Isaiah Moses had a shot to tie it, missed it. But Idaho beats them at EWASH to change their fortunes. But yeah, 45 seconds left. We pulled up the ESPN Plus to watch any of that. And then there was, you know, well more than a half left of the Portland State Weaver, but Portland State won that one substantially.
Yeah.
So. Okay, so Portland State's going to win, and all right, so Weber State, us, Montana, we're going to tie. So we're all trying to figure it out, and we tie for fourth. You know, forget the seeding, we tie for fourth, and we were dead last halfway through conference.
Yeah,
because even when we were 2-7, we were 1-7. We won that game against Idaho to go to 2-7. We were still in last place 9 games in. There's 18 games in the league, so it's 9-9. So like to go from dead last to all the way to fourth, and man, we were about 3 or 4 possessions from beating Eastern Washington, and that would have put us all the way to third.
Yeah.
So what a great second half.
Well, weeks ago, what were you telling me when you guys were 1-7? You were giving me the layout, like we want to go. What do you say? 6-5. 6-5.
We had 11 games left,
and that seemed daunting at that point.
Daunting.
6-5, and you go 9-1.
Yeah, it's like, you know, and we in that 11 games, it ended up being 9-2 because we were 1-6 at that point. So that's when we sat down. But 1-6, we had lost 8 of our last 10 games. We kind of coined that with the guys. That was the second season. So we were 9-1 the first season this year, 2-8 the second season. And there's a lot of negativity, a lot of people that hopped off that bandwagon, which is all good. But, you know, for us, that's when we had that story where we took the 8 box scores, put them on the 8 losses, put them on front back, one page, you know, gave to the guys on our team meeting. And then we had Zach on we only had one toilet in the locker room. We said, Zach, why don't you go flush this thing? And so ZB flushed it and say, it's over. So we got to go 6-5. Well, lo and behold, you know, in the goal of 6-5, which did seem extremely daunting, we lost 8 of our last 10. But let's get back to a winning program. Of course, we lost the first game. We lost at Northern Arizona. So now we're 0-1 in that last 6-5 goal, that last 11 stretch, and then we did win 9 of our last 10 games. So now it's like, man, we thought 6-5, would be really good. We went 9-2, which is so cool. And we won 9 of our last 10 games. And really, like I said, we were right there at EWAS. You know, that was a great college basketball game. Just didn't get it done in the final 4 or 5 minutes. But we're 4 possessions away from winning our last 10 games. Mm-hmm. So we do feel good about that.
And the only team in the Big Sky, you and I were talking about this. I'm trying to make sense of the tie-breaking scenarios on, was it Sunday or Saturday? I'm going through all this. And then Monday we were breaking it down. I said the simplest is UNC wins and then Weber State's probably going to lose to Portland State and then that's how it's going to unfold and here we are. But you're the only team in the Big Sky to get 20 wins.
It's huge.
This year. And 20 wins has always been that's that benchmark for a really great team.
It's a premium. It's a big thing. And people say, hey, there's one team in our league that got it done. And mm-hmm. Portland State finished with 19 wins. And you look at it too and it's like when you talk about our league, what's so impressive about the 20 wins is, one, the non-con, how great that was, and all those road wins. And we all talk about CU, which is great, but, like, at Portland, at Pepperdine, at Omaha, those are extremely hard games to win. But to get to 20 in the Big Sky, this is the best the Big Sky has been, I think, in, like, 10, 15 years. Our league is ranked 16th in the country out of 31 leagues. Typically, we're like 21, 22, which is cool. We're 16. Like, that's extremely impressive. To put it in context, I think the Summit League is like 23, and we compare ourselves to them. Our league is 16. They're like 23. Mm. And so we've had to do this in a year to get to the 20 wins where the league's been really good. And it's like the third time in 5 years we've got it done. And then the year we finished with 19 wins, when we had Jaren, St. DeJure, Langston, and those guys, we had a great team and finished second. Got to 19-12, lost in the first round of the tournament, lost in the CBI, so we finished with 19. So to get to 20, it's a huge deal.
Yeah, well, and then again, to get to that 20, you had to get through Montana in that final game on a Monday night before we get set to talk about the Big Sky Big Sky tournament, Starch Madness. Absolutely love that.
It's cool.
This was an interesting game to kind of watch unfold because you guys, it was back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then suddenly, you just started building this crazy lead. But it didn't, you and I were talking about this before the podcast, it wasn't one of those where it was just like three after three after three, and they were turning it over left and right. Yeah. It was like this steady climb, and then ultimately you look down and you outscore Montana 58-34 in the second half. 34 points in the second half.
I'm going to dodge your question.
Okay.
I'm gonna go backwards. So I'm going to go backwards to set the table. We talked about the EWASH game, but then Idaho. If we don't win at Idaho, because they just won last night at EWASH. If we don't beat Idaho,
it's a huge game.
We're probably seventh place.
Yeah.
So
you'd be playing you'd have to win 4 games.
Oh, yeah.
To do it all.
So the Idaho game, because I'd be remiss to not talk about that for just a second. Great team. I think they're really good, man. Really good. And I think there's minimum 7, maybe more teams that could win the championship. That sounds like lunacy, but it's the truth.
I buy it, man.
You know, with Idaho being seventh place. But we're down 7 at halftime. We have 40 points in the first half. So we lost our minds at halftime on our guys. And it's their senior night. It was an unbelievable atmosphere. That place was rocking. It's the best gym in the league. I call it a gym, but it's an arena. Like, for people that, like, don't know it's just beautiful. And so it was a doubleheader. It was us, then our women played after that against their women. And if their women win, they win their Big Sky Championship. So that place was popping. Did all the senior night stuff. It was a zoo in there. We're down 40-33 at half. We're playing fine offensively, but our defense is failing. It's failing. In the second half at Idaho, we held them to 25% from the field. And we flipped it. We went from down 7 to, I don't know, we won by 8 or what, 9 points, but we had it down up to like 12 or whatever. We flipped a great team on the road in their senior night in a packed environment by 20 because our defense was good. So that's the first thing. Then what people don't know is that we play the game of 1. We, since it's in Moscow, we got to drive all the way back to Spokane, which is not a huge deal, but it's a 2-hour drive back, so there's no flights that night. So the two options, when we booked flights literally 4 months ago, sat down with travel agent with Coach Goss, who does a great job with operations, we only had two options for the travel party. 5 a.m., 5 p.m. on Sunday. No one we played Monday. It's like the Matrix, red pill, blue pill. You're kind of screwed either way. Mm-hmm. So we're like, all right, well, we got to go 5 a.m. because we have to get back, I guess. Like, if you do 5 p.m., you're in the Pacific time zone. It's a two-hour flight. You don't even land at DIA till like 8 at night. You don't get back to your house till 9:30, and you got to go play Montana the next. That's stupid. But 5 a.m. stupid, too, because what people don't know is 2:45 a.m. wake-up call. I repeat, the day before we played Montana, 2:45. So we didn't practice on Sunday. Nothing. Got back to the hotel Saturday, tried to get a little bit of preparation, film work in, whatever. Said, we're shutting it down, boys. We're putting you in a bad spot with the flights. It is what it is. Big Sky travel. Got to go commercial. Flights are terrible. So we're going to fly back. We go home. Sleep, rest, come in, get an ice bath, whatever you get. But we are doing nothing. And we're going to conserve energy and fuel. And we're going to go see what happens on Monday. And we have an old enough team. Second time we played them. They knew the personnel. We had a great, quick 45-minute practice Monday. But we didn't do anything Sunday. That's insanity, right? With 20 games on the line, Montana. Mm-hmm. But hey, those are the cards we were dealt. So when you get to the game against Montana, it was the first half is exactly what I thought it was going to be: 27-23, disgusting. Mm. You know, now we were guarding. We held them to 30% in the first half. We're guarding. We're playing so hard we can't make a shot, and we knew it. And we're getting good looks. You know, Zach and Ibu, really good shooters. 1 for 8 on good looks. Couldn't make a shot. We're missing shots at the rim. Brock only gets 4 shots. 3 of those shots are threes because they're doubling him. And it was brutal. But what was cool to get to your point in the second half is that we kept guarding him. They had a surge late in the game that kind of got it up a little bit. Yeah, but, like, we kept guarding him. And so when we finally stretched it out, we just started making open shots. And we got our second wind, and multiple guys helped out, obviously. But, you know, Zach, 1 for 5 in the first half from 3, but he banged all 3 in the second half. Boom, boom, boom.
He was
hits
getting
those
hot.
Threes. And then we got that dunk to ring in transition. All kinds of cool stuff started happening, and it just the floodgates opened. It was about 12 minutes ago. It's still a close game, but we're up like 12-14. We get through our rotations. We sub Zach out and some other guys too. But then it just stretched even further. Now it was like 14, 16, 18, 20, 22. Whoa. So, like, I told Zach, to be ready, but you might not go back in. And then it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Subbed Brock out. Be ready, but you might not go back in. Subbed Quit. Be ready. And then what was so cool as that game went on and on and on is that with about 5 minutes left, we're up 25-30. We haven't had a lot of games like that we had the opportunity to finally, you know, Hunter Caldwell, who plays a little bit, but Hunter Caldwell, but then Tanner Burkita, Chance White, Walker Asp, and then Arik were able to finish that game out. And how much fun it was. Tanner banked a couple shots. Caldwell banked some shots. Chance did some really nice things. Walker, man, these guys are good enough to play. And because we've been in 16-1 possession games, we haven't blown a ton of teams out, and we've never been blown out. So you don't have that. And luckily, we've never had, you know, injuries, so which is a great thing. But, like, those guys that are good enough to play and they've done everything we asked them to do for 130 practices and they're ready when their number's called and it hasn't been called, to let them get the opportunity to play in that environment, to beat Montana, to have some success. There's 2,000 people at the game.
Awesome.
What a great ending for those guys, too.
Yeah, well, and that's why I say, like, 34 points in the second half for Montana, but it felt like 25.
Absolutely.
Or something like that. And then obviously getting the opportunity to put a lot of guys in that bust their tails.
Yeah.
It just, there's not enough minutes in these games to make it work. So that just all of it kind of rounded out.
Yeah, it was just a great positive night. And the fans were great. And it was just fun, man. It was fun to have that at home. It was fun to have great student section. It was fun to have the fans there. It was fun to just get that done against a really good team. Like, I really respect those guys. And as you look at the bracket, oh, man, we got to play these guys again.
Got to play them again.
Which is fine. You got to play somebody. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, it was a great into that regular season and capped off with the 20 wins and so many special things.
Well, special things, too. Quinn Danker breaks a regular season record for the Bears and most assists in a season.
Yeah, I texted Quinn last night, and I was like, obviously, it's awesome. But when you think about just in our era, the guys that have had the ball in their hands, you know, Jordan Davis, right?
Really good.
Yeah. I mean, Jonah Radabaugh.
Very, very
his
good.
His last year, the ball was in his hands the whole game, played the whole game. Matt Johnson.
Excellent.
Legacy assist guy, right? Jaron Riley.
Another fantastic player.
And so for Quinn to have that record And that's just in our era, the guys I can think of, but how about how many good players that is? You know, JD, you know, Big Sky Player of the Year, you know, all-time UNC scoring leader, assists, all this different stuff. Jonah Radabaugh, I mean, unbelievable player, you know. And then you look at Matt Johnson just thriving in the pros. I think he still has maybe him or Zach the most wins in history of UNC. And then Jaron Riley. I mean, elite players. Mm-hmm. And for Quinn to get that type of recognition or accomplishment is pretty special.
Well, okay, so we talked about this too, like his chances of getting the Big Sky Conference Player of the Year. Now, you finish fourth.
Yeah.
But do we take in account, yeah, like how close it was? You finish fourth, but three games out of first place, two games out of second place, one game out of third.
Yeah, you never know. And, you know, I'm assuming the email come out today where we got to vote probably by tomorrow. I haven't seen the email from the Big Sky yet, but it's coming. And we can't vote for our own guys. That's the one thing. But, you know, there will be a lot of, you know, you look at it, it's like, okay, if Portland State runs away with it by four games, but it came down to the final night. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, in the sense, like, do I think Quinn is deserving? Absolutely. 100%. I think he's deserving of it. What our body of work's been, what he's done. And I think it's another thing, like, to say we have the most wins, to say we're right in the middle of winning. Now, we finished seventh or eighth. I don't know, man. But to get up to now we're in the mix again, like, yeah, I think he's deserving of it. I don't know where it's going to go. It's going to be a very interesting award season for a lot of those awards. But he's got a chance for sure.
Yeah.
He's very deserving.
Just as you and I were talking over the weekend, because I was trying to get some clarity on the tiebreaker and stuff. And that's when you know, when it's that convoluted.
Oh, yeah.
Just, you know, Portland State wasn't guaranteed that spot. You could see Eastern Washington move up. Yep. I was looking at those scenarios where how do you jump over Montana if you don't jump over Weber State? If Weber State beats Portland State, well, then I guess we probably need Eastern Washington to win because you had a better record against Eastern Washington than Montana did.
Sure.
So trying to, but that to me is the mark of, that's why it's not cliche to hear you say it. This conference has been wild, and the tournament seems maybe more than ever more wide open than it's ever been.
I think so. And when you get to the tournament, you know, we know we play on Monday. We know now that we play Montana, but by the time we play, four teams will already be gone because you got the 7-8 and the 9-10 games on Saturday, so two teams lose there. Then you got the ones and the twos play the winners of those games. The losers go home there. So there's only going to be six teams left by the time that we play. And I love it, man. It's such a fun thing. And, you know, it's set up for us to have a chance. And we got a great path. We're good enough to win this thing. But when you say that six or seven teams can win it, right, anybody that we play, starting with Montana, can win it. Well, that means anyone can end our season like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, we're gonna have to play really well, you know. And even like going back to watching the Montana game in the wee hours last night, there's things that we did well, there's things that we didn't do well. And so we're gonna have to find a way to not be enamored with the scoreboard of that game and think we can just show up, because that's not the case. We're gonna have to play way better to beat these guys again, and we're gonna get their best shot, obviously.
That's like, it's like you said when we were talking, like it was. If you just look at a box score, you say, wow, the Bears kind of blew him out. But it didn't necessarily feel like that. It was that slow 4-point
game
climb.
At halftime. Yeah, 4-point game at halftime. And we had that nice surge. And then the walls kind of crumbled for Montana later in the game. But no, it was not like we just came out and blew him out. It was a really close game.
Yeah. Last year, you guys finished the season against Weber State. You win that game 68-63. You turn around, start your tournament play against Weber State again, and that time you win 76-52. So what?
I'm glad you brought that up because I was thinking about back in the day, like, okay, we today's off, it's a Tuesday, but we're going to practice tomorrow and start kind of getting, you know, focused on Boise. And I like to paint the negative pictures. And I was thinking about when I was here with Coach Linder, we were at Southern Utah, and it was our senior night, and we blew them out. I mean, we crushed them the second to last game of the year. And then we actually flew home. We burned a bunch of money, which was the right move. Coach Linder raised a bunch of money to the one time in the history of since I've been here in 12 years at UNC that we – or 10 years or whatever it is, 10, 12. I am sleep deprived. But that we chartered home from Southern Utah because we had to fly. It's just like this, but we flew home because if we beat Southern Utah, we had a chance to win the Big Sky Championship. And we flew home that night because then we played Northern Arizona, who's really low in the rankings, to win the championship. Two nights later, just like this situation. And we flew home, and it was all set up, and we lost at home to an NAU team that was, I don't know, eighth or ninth in the league. Disaster. But we invested the money to go home to give ourselves the best chance and the best sleep to win a championship. So anyways, then we finished two. We get the two seed. And the first game of Boise, Southern Utah, who we had just blown out. And they blew us out. They beat us 30. So it was literally like a 50 or 60 point flip. And I'm going to paint that picture, but I'm glad you brought the positivity because you're right. Weber State, close game, gnarly game, barely won it. And then that was our first game, yeah. And we crushed them. So we're always trying to paint the picture of like, don't let this scoreboard be the imposter. So I'm glad you brought that up because that's very true.
Well, and you crushed Weber State and then you crushed Montana State. And then that set up for an epic battle. Montana looks like they're going to pull away last year. You guys keep coming back, and it came down to
we tied it. Yeah,
it was right there. Wild game. So, yeah, I mean, how much of that, when you're going over the film, when you're talking about these two, because they're two totally different games, the game you played at the beginning of the season against Montana, we're talking about how you allowed 35 in the second half. I think you know they scored like 54 or something. You guys kept it close in the second half. You didn't let them blow you out, but that was kind of in the midst of when this Bears team's trying to find themselves.
Yeah, we were trying to find ourselves, and we were all out of sorts. And a lot of that was on me too. Like they started, exposing us and trying to not guard certain players. And so I changed our lineup. I overreacted. I did a bad job in that game. Which, as we prepared for this game, I felt like it was a blessing. Like, okay, we now know kind of what they're going to do. We think we can expose it a little bit. And then the coverages we change. We just change a lot of things. The interesting thing, though, as you go into it, is that we both showed our hands, last night. And there might be more modifications, there might not. But, like, okay, now that we both said, okay, this is how we're going to guard you the last game of the year, this is how we're going to guard you. Now it gets interesting, what modifications do either one of us do as we get into Boise? So it's really interesting to think about that from a chess, strategy standpoint. So we'll see. But, we're such a different team now. That wasn't the best version of the Bears last night, obviously. They did a good job double-teaming Brock. Like, he only made one shot. He was 1-for-7. So, Brock, as great as he is, we can get a much better version out of Brock, So it's not like we just – we're humming on all cylinders, but we played good enough for sure.
Yeah, well, and seeing Yamazaki, knock down a couple of nice shots too. It was cool to see him kind of finding. Does it feel like he's kind of finding a rhythm these last few weeks?
He's still kind of choppy a little bit, but he hit some big ones in the second half. Mm-hmm. And what was cool about that is and there's some more pressure on him. The Tokyo Broadcasting System was in town last night.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, so they've done stories on Rui Hashimura. And then let me think about this. Tomi Naga, who was at Nebraska. And so I don't know the whole story, but there was, I think, coming in from Japan, they came out to do a big thing on Ibu Yamazaki. And there was the media team they let us know ahead of time. And so they came in and they kind of, I think they followed him around school all day. It'll be interesting to see what the actual piece is, and interviewed him before they were out of practice. They were at the game. They had cameras all over the place. During the game, and that probably had some pressure onto Ibu, because there's like a big story back home for him. But he's done a good job, and when we kind of got to go in the second half, he found a way to get some good looks at the rim, and then he hit the big three. But he's starting to find his way again a little bit. And then I thought Ring was tremendous.
Ring has been
on the road. He I don't even know if he scored against Eastern Washington, and he only had a couple points against Idaho. And not that we need him to score a ton, because his impact is different, but for him to go 6-for-7, plus got fouled on a shot, so he really went 7-for-8 from the field last night, critical. Yeah. And so, that's where our ceiling increases, right? Delano played well in a lot of ways, didn't hit shots, but, we can get a more productive version of Vince. So, when those guys are playing well, Egan was great, so. The key to us is that it's not just about Brock and Quinn. And then Zach had a great offensive game, too. And he's been not struggling, but we've been having a tough time finding shots for him, because teams are just tightening down on him. And he finally got some free looks, and he knocked him down. So we weren't just a masterpiece in any way offensively. And that's what's exciting. It's we can play better.
Yeah, well, and you mentioned Ring Neary. What I liked that he did, like you said, didn't score a lot against Idaho over the weekend, but he's still doing other things especially, just stay involved, rebounding.
Especially in the second half, yeah. And he ended up with 8 defensive rebounds against Idaho. And his impact in the second half was tremendous, and that's where we flipped it. So, yeah, it's we're going to have to be the best version of ourselves to really play well down the stretch and get any of these wins. Like, it's a one-game season. And so, yeah, it'll start, but it could end with Montana, too, if we don't get it done. So we got to be the best version of ourselves for sure.
We just talked about the Weber State games and how that sequence went down last year for you guys. What are the benefits and what are the negatives, I guess, when you play at a team on a Monday and then you got to play that exact same team, especially when you get the win like that? You're going to obviously have a pissed off Montana team that's like, we can play much better than that.
And the negative is just human nature. Like, wow, you just beat these guys by 30. Well, not. I mean, guys, it was a 4-point game at halftime. You know, so I do believe we have the mature team to not let it get to that. But we're going to have to address it and focus on it. And you're right. Like, you're going to get the best version of them. They're tremendously well coached. They got players that won a championship last year, right? Multiple players, but starting with Money and starting with Tajon Sawyer. So, yeah, like, you cannot let human nature get in there. But then just from a strategy standpoint, as it popped out last night, you know, for me, I'm like, I don't play these guys for 7 days. And, you know, you can't create things to prepare for that aren't going to happen. We thought we had the right plan last time. So, yeah, we'll add in a few things so we have more time. But, like, we can't get stale either, you know. So we got to figure out how to do it. But, yeah, today's off. Tomorrow, Wednesday, probably won't be much about Montana, but just about us and, you know, just a lift, skill, some situational stuff that we haven't gotten to recently, and then the breakdown of the film of this game, and then going back through all the, you know, the secret sauce analytics from our final three games, because we haven't had any of that breakdown stuff. Then we're gonna take Thursday off. So then we take Thursday off, practice Friday here in Greeley, and then we fly out Saturday. Those flights have already been booked a long time ago, but it's good. We got flights Saturday, you know, at a very respectable time, Saturday morning. Get out to Boise. We practice Saturday afternoon, I think. I don't even know if we'll go to the other than just going to see the environment. I'm not sure how much we'll go to those games Saturday, the 7-8 and the 9-10 game, because those games don't affect us at all. But we're kind of there, settled in, get a good meal, just have some fun with the team, break down a little bit, you know. But then you get to Sunday. Now Sunday, I think it's an earlier practice, like early afternoon. The games are still Sunday night. We will go to those games. Even though it's not the teams we play on Monday, like we'll play potentially one of those games. You got the Portland State and whoever they play, and then you got the Montana State, whoever they play. And now you're starting to dial in for that Monday game. But I love how it breaks down. I love that we're the earlier game. We're at 5:30, right?
Yeah, 5:30 on Monday.
What time's the late game? Is it 8? What's that saying, that bracket right there?
Okay, so on Monday, 5:30 and 8 o'clock will be Eastern Washington and Weber State.
Yeah, so we've been on the late night games. I like were the earlier games. But then on Tuesday, if we win, you know, what time's that
7 game? 7 o'clock.
As opposed to, what's the late night game?
That would be 9:30.
We've been a brutal.
Yeah.
Like, you're sitting for 9:30 games, it's brutal, like, sitting around all day. So, like, I like how this is a 5:30, and then if you could get it done, a 7 or whatever game. The other question, which I haven't looked at, Brady, is, like, when do our women play? Because I know our women got the 3 seed, and we can probably find that in the old Twitter X, Big Sky handles, but it'd be nice to be able to get to our women's game. But they don't play till Monday as well, so it's Sunday, Saturday, Sunday, just about getting out there, settling in, practicing, getting used to the vibe, the whole thing. It would be nice to be able to get out and support our women. They've had a great year. They won 22 games. They're a 3 seed. So they have the 3-6 game, and they play Monday as well. So we'll see if we can't, you know, bake that into our schedule. I'll work on that with Coach Goss today as we kind of get our operations. Did you find it?
Yeah, I'm digging up here.
Yeah, I pulled it up.
Let's see. They're the third seed. Is that right?
Yep.
Let's see. Da-da-da-da. We got to find it here. They would be playing on Monday at 2:30.
Yeah, so we'll look at, okay, does any of that make sense? Now, we can't compromise our preparation for our game as well, but we'll see on how that works out. But, yeah, I think for our fans, too, hopefully our fans, we get some fans to come out there. You got, you know, the player families for both teams, and then the fans, if we can get the fans to get out there, you can double hit the women and the men on Monday. We're both playing Monday. We really play back-to-back, right?
Yeah.
2:30 and 5:30?
Yeah.
How cool is that, right?
Yeah, and then the next night, too, assuming we get both there, they would play at 2:30 again the following night.
Is that what it is?
And then with you guys at the,
seven?
7 o'clock, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, it's set up really cool. And I think, too, one of the hardest things, like, when you're the one of the 2 seed and being in 1 seed last year, one of the hardest things is that, okay, you play Sunday, so you got to get out there Friday to kind of settle in, and then you got to watch till Saturday night and see who you play. So you're out there Friday, Saturday, play Sunday, you're off Monday, play Tuesday, it turns into this like 6-day thing, and just the fatigue of the hotel and the being out of your own bed and, you know, the catered meals, and like it gets to be a lot. I like this mini burst of like, this is like the Portland MT. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is what we got. So if we can keep winning, and that's a big if, but if we can keep winning, you don't have as much wear and tear of just being away for so long. Leave Saturday. It's set up for us to have a chance, and so I'm really excited about that.
How what does preparation look like? And I know, you know, I don't want to do any jinxes or anything of the look ahead or anything, but obviously you got Montana. How does the preparation look like for the following game, whether it's Portland State or whether it's Idaho State or Northern Arizona?
Yeah.
What does that prep look like?
Nothing until you get to it. It's all Montana. And really, before you get to Montana, that's why this thing gets weird to me, too, that, you know, my mentality is we kind of laid out the week, not knowing what we would have. But my mentality until about 10 o'clock last night, and it's still the same, is that our practice tomorrow, Wednesday, which is more so about the body, the stretching, you know, getting a lift. We're still lifting. So lift the body, the stretch, the skill work, the situations. I don't want to address our opponent at all until we get to the Friday practice. Well, we're playing in Montana. So the breakdown film from last night, it will have to leak into the preparation as well. I'll be, oh, hey, look, hey, this got to change. You know, so it's going to have to change a little bit, but I don't want to get scouty or anything until Friday at all. We're not going to be going through their set somewhere. No, it's all about us and, you know, what little wrinkles could we do? What situational work can we address? Things like that, because it's not just about Montana, but if you get a chance to win and move on and have a chance to win the whole thing, multiple situations will happen in Boise, and you've got to be great at your situations. You know, these games are won and lost or close games for the most part, and so you're going to have to find a way to be good at situations. And the blessing is being in 16-1 possession games. We've seen it all, but that doesn't mean we've remembered it all. So you got to keep going back to it. Hey, reminder here. Like if, you know, we're up 3-12, you know, 12 to go. Are we fouling? Are we not? Like, what are we doing? So like we got to make sure we're good on situations as well. And that'll kind of leak into tomorrow's practice.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited. I cannot wait. I've been looking forward to this tournament for a while.
It's awesome.
Didn't know how it was going to end. We knew you'd be there. Just really the main thing in my mind was avoid that bottom four spot.
Yeah.
And obviously, big win against Idaho ensured that would happen.
Yeah,
and then
big.
You followed it up with win number 20 against Montana. Yeah. It's been a crazy season, man.
Well, just a big shout out to, like, you know, you have these little, try to tell these stories to your guys. And it's like, hey, 3 seasons. That was not the intention early on. But, you know, we're 9-1 now. We're 10-3. Now we beat CU. Like, but man, it could flip quick. And it was, again, like, it wasn't because of injuries. It wasn't because of attitudes. It wasn't because of, you know, player discipline, guys late to. Like, we've had none of that. Mm-hmm. And we never do. But, like, these guys are such – what a great team to coach. But the way that the cards fell next year, we were 1-7. That did happen. And there was one of the refs – we had a great ref crew last night. When it got late, he brought me over and said, hey, man, I got to ask you a question. I said, what? He goes, how did this team get to 1-7 mm-hmm. league? I said, I don't know. But, you know, the cooler thing about the story is, like, you know, how do you respond to anything? And we talk about that, but event plus response equals outcome, right? E plus R equals O. And the event was that we were 1-7. Like, how are we going to respond? Like, so many teams could just say, yeah, it's a little too hard. And, you know, we believe there's all these little boats, right? We're all these little boats. And we always say a rising tide lifts all boats. But, like, those little boats can start drifting away. And, well, I just need folks on, you know, graduating and going pro. I need just folks on, you know, portaling. I just need to focus on, you know, me, and that's never been our team. We. And so our guys have just responded. It's like, go back to this player being, hey, are you concerned? No.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be player-led. Like, that's what it needs to be. And what a cool thing. And I think it's cool when you continue to sacrifice, even when you do all the right things, it doesn't mean this is going to happen. Our guys could have done all the right things. We could have still finished 9th place. Every team in our league, all these kids want to win. All the coaches, there's great coaches in this league. It's not like, you know, the team that finishes 8th, 9th, 10th is poorly coached and with bad human beings, right? We all want to win, and we all have, like, great talent, you know, in a lot of ways. And you look at our league, and you look at what some of these teams have done that, man. So to be able to have that inflection point to lose and to still find a way out of it, that is such a cool piece of what this team's story is this year. And, yeah, you know, I hope, and we all hope, and hope's not a strategy, but we all hope we can get this thing done at Boise. But I do, since there are 7 days, I'm allowing myself just a little bit to reflect and to be super proud of what these guys have done. And, you know, the people that matter have stayed with us, you know, and supported us. I mean, you have all the boo birds and all the people that come out, all the fake people online and this and that. We've talked about that. But, like, the people, like, that have stayed with us, not just last night when we had 2,000 people there, but, man, we had a great crowd against Idaho when we were 1-7, a great crowd against Eastern Washington when we were 2-7, and we had to win those games. And people kept stepping up and showing up and showing up and showing up. And our students, our fans, our community, like, they showed up. And the numbers will come out that this will be, I think, the biggest amount of fans we've ever
it
had.
It sure felt like just watching it on ESPN Plus.
And on a season. Yeah. Honestly, I think it's going to be the most fans. Kits is running numbers with his crew, but I think it's the most fans we've ever had. And that, at one point, we were dead last.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason to show up unless you care deeper about just the wins and losses, and people do. And so I'm super proud about that.
Yeah, there was more and more of them. I'm watching the end of the broadcast last night.
You and
Jerry are trying to have a conversation, and somebody's coming up. Rams, like, no.
Yeah, Rams were, like, tapping us. And the thing, too, is that, you know, when the game – it was a 6 o'clock game, and like, it was weird because, like, we – you know, I speak to our donors in the champs room before people at that champs level or higher. And it was a good turnout. It's like, okay, that's good. And we felt like we'd have a good student turnout because it was a Monday night for Saturday nights are hard. This is kind of a suitcase campus, no matter what you say. And so a lot of students go home. It is what it is. But it was a Monday game, so we had a chance, like, to get good students. And we gave – Brady, we gave away everything, man. We gave – our guy Shane, ISS, there was, like, $600 giveaway for the students. And something happened at a time – I don't know what it was, but someone banged a shot because everyone went nuts.
Mm.
And maybe it was that. And we gave away Shields. We gave away Rio. We gave away DDA, Downtown Development Authority. And I'm going to miss somebody, and I apologize for that. But we gave away all this stuff all night long. And so I was like – and we promoted it. But when we walked out before, like, I asked the staff, like, hey, how's the crowd? Like, you know, it's weird because it's 70 degrees out and it feels like it's 2 in the afternoon because it's bright. It's not. It doesn't feel like a night game. And then, like, with the you know, the lineups and warmups, it wasn't like it was packed. And I was like, crap.
Mm.
I don't know if we're going to have a great crowd. But then people just – it was almost like the Miami Heat, right? Just the late arriving crowd. They kept arriving and arriving, and all of a sudden it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like that in the starting lineups. It was good. And then Brock's sister, Ariel, did the national anthem, and she
– Oh, wow.
She's done the Final Four now. If you're bored,
to check
ask
it
Brock.
Out. Okay.
She's done the women's Final Four, and she never had done, a national anthem before. Somehow she got a voice of an angel. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
So she's there just belting out the national anthem, and it's like, whoa.
I'm going to have to bring that up with Brock today.
Yeah, bring it up. And it was rocking. It was just like, oh, my gosh, this is amazing. And the crowd, like, was, like, into it, but it wasn't still, like, at that point, I don't know, probably 1,200, 1,400 people there, and they just kept kind of just leaking in. Next thing you know, we had us a crowd. And it was awesome to have the biggest crowd of the year when we needed it. Because, again, guys, you know, we were up 2:45 in the morning, Sunday morning. That is a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
I am such a big believer in sleep and rest and this and that. And to say, guys, we're going to get you up 2:45, that is, you are doomed to failure. But when you got a crowd in there, and when Zach banged that three and got the 48-34 and he's popping around and this and that, like, that crowd, like, it was so huge. So it was so much fun.
It's been fun to see, Coach. Like, you guys have created this environment because – it wasn't always like that.
No.
I mean,
no, it's going to be the best we've ever had. I think it's going to be the best numbers we've ever had, which is so cool.
Well, you guys grind, man. I mean, and again, you have a great new staff that's supporting you. You guys have been, you know, since you've been the head coach, this Bears team, more often than not, is successful throughout the regular season. It's just, are people getting that message? Are we getting it out there? And this, it just looks like it. It looks like a popping place in there.
It takes a village, and like that, it does. Oh man, our marketing team, our administration, they are grinders. They got some young grinders.
Even the social media presence, is just it's on par.
They're just grinders, and they're doing everything we can. And like, they don't get enough, you know, credit. Like, there's times, like, there was one where it's like, we had a game. It was goofy. Then the women had a game. Then we had a game. Then wrestling had a wrestling match. And they're like 5 days in a row, like, just trying to put their best foot forward. It's really – because, again, we don't have a huge staff. Like, everyone knows. Like, the deficits and the budgets and the layoffs and this and that. Like, it is – it's a bare-bones deal. But we got special people. And then the community just steps up, and they step up, and they step up. And I remember, like, you know, when I was with Coach Leonard, one of his things was so frustrating back then. It's like, we were winning then, too. And it was hard to get crowds. We were looking like, okay, the lighting. So we had like the Lakers lighting. How do we make this thing right? Like, and people have just consistently gotten better in a time in college athletics where attendance has gone down for everybody. And right now, and it'll be, I got to tweet this guy, maybe you can. The guy that put out that tweet that looked at the Big Sky attendance, and this is like 3 weeks ago, and it was, what were your overall numbers? Which we don't have like the biggest attendance because, you know, it's just our arena and stuff, but also looked at the capacity percentage. And we were number two in the league at filling our arena at like 58%. Number one was Sac State, which is true. We played those guys. It was packed. I was like, geez, what's going on here? I don't know how they're getting all those fans. But with Bibby and Mikey Williams and Shaq, like, yeah. But it's an amazing thing. But we were number two in capacity percentage ahead of the Montanas, the Montana States, the Weavers. How much? How cool is that?
Yeah.
And so I sent that to kids too. Like, we probably need to get the final one. Like, I don't know.
Shoot that over to me. I would love to see that.
Because, like, to say that our community, for what we got, right, in a place that's hard to fill up, you got CSU right there, you got CU, you got the Denver Nuggets. This ain't this isolated place. Like, you got the mountains, you got the weather, you got all this great stuff. That it's hard. Like, I am so proud that we are filling that arena up in a place and time in college athletics where it's not filling up for everybody, in a place where there's a million distractions and other things you could do out here. And that's just – that's the locals, man. That's the students and that's the locals. That's Greeley. That's Northern Colorado. People are stepping up. And like, that is so cool because it is not like that everywhere. And people are complaining about attendance and this and that. And like, our people are getting better and better and better. How cool is that?
It's awesome to see it. It's cool for when watching it on ESPN Plus, just seeing, you know, the wide shots there. And when they go to break, they'll still leave it on there. You see the fans going crazy. I'd be remiss if we didn't mention our great sponsor. And that's one of those guys that helps support this Bears program, Ryan Hicks at Renaissance Insurance Group.
Oh, man, my guy Hicks, man. He shot me a text last night, too. He's a tremendous example of helping out. If we don't have people helping out, we can't do any of this stuff, right? And that's just helping out with running a program, the players, all like the supplemental help is everything here. So he's a great example, Ryan is. And then, too, he shows up.
Yeah.
He shows up and he wants to be a part of it. And it's just so much fun. It's so much fun, you know, after a win to get people that are texting, like, hey, I'll text you back.
You are one. You're a rare one, man.
But these are my friends. This is an awesome thing. This is not like coach and donor. Like this, these are my friends. Like I'm gonna see Ryan Hicks as an example. You know, in 2 months at the GCC, we're gonna go play some golf, and I got a 28 handicap. He's got like a 4, and he's gonna be frustrated because I'm gonna slow him down. But we're gonna have a great time.
Just to say, remember what our basketball team did throughout the season. You know, to entertain you. Don't give me a hard time if my backswing's a little off.
Absolutely. And so, you know, and it's so much fun to have so many people. And I could shout out a million names, but in this particular situation with Ryan Hicks, like, man, how much he helps out. It's so big time.
Well, and what I love, I noticed this, you know, when I first met you, going back to, you know, 2020 and going through the Zoom calls you were doing and the details you would put together for donors to see here's where your money's going.
Yeah.
That blew me away from that point on. And I remember just talking. I said, if anyone's going to get people to go to games and grind, it's going to be this staff under Coach Smiley.
Yeah.
It's been awesome to see. By the way, Ryan, I think, is pushing me out of the podcast. He suggested Ed Werder come in and sit with us for a podcast. And I, of course, read that negatively, like get Ed in.
Get Brady
slowly
out.
Kind of scoot him out the door.
It's not a terrible idea.
So, well, that's what I was wondering. I was trying to get your backing on that, and that backfired, of course. So,
So
we get Ed in, and I may never get back in this chair.
Hey, you know, and Ed Werder was at our game.
That was when he texted me. He said, hey, here's an idea. You should get Ed in for the two-man game. And I said, it's two-man game. It's not three-man game.
Yeah, it was senior night. It was senior night. But it's the same thing as you try to shove me out trying to get my guy Sonny on, right? Like, hey, you put that guy in the room. Like, this room's not big enough
we will talk. Yeah, I don't think you guys need me, honestly, if it's just you two in here.
We'll drag Sonny at some point in time and have a good time. But, yeah, it's that was like, you go back, you know, Ed, who's a UNC alum and you know, famous NFL, you know, what do you call it, media pundit? I don't know, what's the word? Just, I mean, personality, just big time, right? And he brought out his grandson. And it was his grandson's first college basketball game, and it was senior night, autograph night.
So
like,
cool.
So, like, they're just all these cool little stories that are going on, and all that's over now in the sense of the home games, and now it's on to Boise. And it's really the fourth season, It's the most important season, and it's the shortest season. But can you lock in? Can you make a run? That's, you know, time will tell.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited. I cannot wait for that. One last question for you, Coach. You talk about, you mentioned Brock's sister sing the national anthem. And we're not looking forward. I'm just calling this what it is. We did, and we're holding them to this. We did mention to Brock, if you guys win, if you go to March Madness, he is going to be on his show that he does, thanks to Interior Sprinkler Systems.
ISS, baby. Shane, baby.
He would sing Friends in Low Places, Garth Brooks style.
Does he know the song?
He says that's like his go-to song. He says he's not a good singer, but we put it to him, and he said he would do it.
I don't want to be involved, but I'd like to be in studio for that one.
You want to hear that? Yeah.
And I would probably have Brock watch Country Strong before then. Have you seen that?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, so that was family movie night Sunday. Night. Great call by the wife. And so when her name was Chyle Stanton in the movie. So when Chyle's, she was getting ready to perform, and Tim McGraw is like the executive. This is a great movie, by the way. So it's a country movie. Gwyneth Paltrow is like the famous singer, but she's got like, you
I think
know,
I've heard of this movie.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah, I've
she's
heard
an
of
alcohol
this movie.
Addiction. There's a good ending, a bad ending, but regardless. So they're trying to get like these opening acts for Gwyneth Paltrow's return. So it could be Chyle Stanton or it could be this guy named Bo. You love Bo, right? Just this guy. So Tim McGraw's up in the stands evaluating Chyle Stanton and female, and she's great, but she just freezes. She glitches. So she's singing her song, and people are kind of starting to boo her off the stage. And it's like a little honky-tonk bar, right? Kind of, you know, visualize that. And then Bo comes up, and he starts singing Friends in Low Places. He grabs a guitar because he's like, I got to help her out. So, and then she starts singing Friends in Low Places. And then the crowd that was booing her gets into it, and it salvages, like, her career. So long story short, I would probably make Brock watch that scene.
Get him ready to go.
Yeah, so it can show him, you know, freezing like Chyle Stanton,
mm-hmm.
but then getting going again. So like, I would pay some money to see Brock. We got to win this thing, man.
I'm trying to get our producer, wonderful producer Michael, to find the instrumental version of that, so it's not just quiet. Because I don't want
you
got to have that music behind him.
You need some
music,
yeah, for sure. Let's just like hi-fi. It's on Hydra.
Yeah, we'll get it on Hydra.
Yeah, get it on Hydra.
I'm sure we'll be able to get it. We got everything else on Hydra.
Hydra gives
it only
and
gave
takes.
Us like 1,400 viruses or whatever, but
Hydra
we're good.
Hydra gives and takes.
Yes,
Hydra
it does.
Gives and takes. So,
Coach, but the bottom line is, man, that kind of stuff, I love it. Brock's a great guy.
Oh,
Quinn,
man.
We've had an opportunity to catch up with him and just exceptional players over the years. So from us here at the station, too, we appreciate the accessibility.
Oh, that's great.
You know my situation, not really being able to go out to games like I used to back in the day. And I just appreciate you guys still rolling with me the station on that stuff,
too,
man.
Well, we appreciate you, too. Like, this grows the brand, right? Like, we got to find every way, you know, media-wise to grow the brand. And this is a fun way to do it. I'm so, so grateful and happy to do it. But whether it's podcasts or radio, you know, we've got to find ways to grow social, which we're doing. We've got to find ways to grow video. And that goes back to having great people at our place. But, like, we got to grow the brand.
Yeah.
And I think all these little things attack – you know, the bigger issue of people getting excited, engaged to the games. And I think all these years and years of work, not that we've arrived, but it's really helped out and it's made it something where it's been really fun.
It's about getting, you know, it's fun to watch basketball. It's fun to win basketball, but you want people there
you
to enjoy
there.
This thing
That's
too.
Right.
Coach, always appreciate it, man. Next time we chat, we'll see where we are, man. I don't, because next week I'm guessing is off the table.
Yeah,
because you'll be all over the place.
We'll be in Boise, so you know, we'll just have to do the recap. Hopefully, you know,
we'll probably call you.
But we'll see.
We'll probably call you maybe at some point, throw you on the whole show for like a 5-10 minute thing or something. But
just let me know.
Would love to catch up with you as always, man. So best of luck to you and the Bears, and we'll be rooting for you.
Sounds good, Brady. Thank
all right,
you.
Coach.
Yep.
The Two Man Game Podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy Ryan Hicks and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star Hoover, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!